Good morning. Good to see everyone here today. And I really wasn't trying to pull nothing on anybody. My birthday is actually tomorrow, and I was just trying to hang on. Be the last year that I can claim that I'm 49 years old. I'll be 56, and I'm proud of every one of them. I don't take anything. Do pretty good, I think, other than a little bit of knee problem. If you chase me down, I'm just going to let you catch me. Can't run. But outside of that, I'm thankful for 56 years. And so I really didn't know what the proper protocol was. You know, my birthday's not till tomorrow, so was I supposed to tell it today, or was I supposed to wait till next week, or do you base that on from, you know, if it's Monday to about Wednesday, or if you go to from Wednesday to Saturday of the week or whatever. So it really wasn't nothing that I was trying to keep from you or anything like that. I couldn't do it anyway, could I? So anyway, but thank you. Thank you very much. Luke's Gospel is where we're going to read from today. Before we turn there, though, let's stand, shake hands with someone seated there around you. Thank you, choir, for doing a good job this morning. And congregation, ladies playing for us, thank y'all. Good to see everybody. If you are visiting with us today, don't want you to feel like a visitor. Feel at home. Be a part of us in this worship service today. We're glad to have you. And it is good to just see all of you regular folks, and a lot of you are back this Sunday. We missed you last Sunday. It was a little thin, but it's good to see everyone that is here today. And we just pray that this morning's service will be a blessing to you, be a help to you. Have your Bibles, turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter number 7 of the book of Luke. And this is going to deal primarily with John. And his message and what he preached and what Jesus says about John, but it's really going to deal with the questions that Jesus asked to a crowd of people. Because the same questions that Jesus asked to those people, we could ask ourselves. And I wonder sometimes what would our answer be to that question that Jesus asked if he come and was here today and asked us some of the same questions that he asked his followers, and just people in general that was around him, what would our answer be to him? Luke's Gospel, chapter number 7, verse 24 through 28 is what I'll read. And when the messengers of John were departed, he began to speak to the people concerning John. Now this is Jesus speaking to a crowd of people concerning John the Baptist and his ministry and what he was doing. Listen to what he says now. What went you out unto the wilderness for to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went you out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they which are gorgeously apparelled and live delicately are the king's courts. But what went you out for to see? A prophet? Yes, I say unto you, and much more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee. For I say unto you, among those that are born of a woman, there is not greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. We'll stop reading right there and perhaps go back and look at a couple of other verses there in just a moment. And we are going to go back to the third chapter for just a moment and look at some of the things that John was saying. But the question that I could ask all of us today is simply this. What did you come for today? What did you come for today? Well, after all, preacher, today's Sunday, it's just the thing to do. Would that be some folks' response? Maybe you really like the music. Well, there's really nothing wrong with that. I'm glad you enjoy the music. We have great music here at our church. Maybe you come to be seen. Or maybe you come to see who else was here. Or hopefully and prayerfully you came to worship, and that is your sincere desire for being here today, that you came to worship God in spirit and in truth, the way He calls us to come together to worship Him. I hope and pray that that would be our reason. Now, flip back just a couple of chapters to the third chapter of the book of Luke, and you're going to see that John came preaching a very simple message. There was absolutely nothing complex about the message that John preached. When you look at the third chapter and the third verse, listen to what it says. And he came unto the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sin. Now, you're going to always find any time that you look at John and you read about the message that John is preaching, that is going to always, it's going to always come down to a message of repentance. Now, what is repentance, and is repentance something new? Well, absolutely not, because when you look even in the Old Testament, all throughout the Old Testament, what was God constantly doing and asking of His people? He was always asking them to repent and to turn back to God. Always, that is a running theme throughout the Old Testament. Why? Because man had a nature, that sin nature about him, and they found themselves always drifting further and further away from God. God would send prophets, God would send His message to them, and it would be always a message to call people to repentance. And that was what John's message was. It was a message of repentance. Well, what is repentance? Well, repentance is an absolute and unconditional surrender to God. When you absolutely, unconditionally surrender yourself to God, it will bring about a change of mind that will lead to a change of heart, that will lead to a right and proper relationship with Christ. That's what repentance is. It's more than just feeling sorry about something or having a little bit of regret about something. It's literally what it says, and it's a term that means to do a 180. Now, a lot of people sometimes says, well, you know what? Oh, so-and-so turned their life around. Well, how far did you turn? Did you go 180, or if you did a 360, you're in the same place you started? And a lot of times that's what folks do. Maybe they got to the 180, but just turned right back around and in the same place where they were. So John comes along and he's preaching a message of repentance to people. Now, think about how John greets his congregation. I love this. I wonder sometimes if I'd done this, how long I would get to be your pastor. John comes to those people in the seventh verse, those folks that have come out there to listen to him. He said, "Oh, generation of vipers." What if I come this one morning and said, "Well, it's good to have all you snakes here with us today." That's what John said. Exactly what he said. So, you know, I don't know if he was keeping with the seeker sensitive idea that we have today, you know. My goodness, don't get me wrong. I want to be warm, and I want to be loving, and I want to be welcoming to people. I really do. I really think that's my call anyway, and that's the way I'm going to come across in the way that I'm going to present the gospel to people. But John, he is a very straightforward preacher. I mean, he absolutely cuts nobody any slack whatsoever. Well, listen to me though. The thing about John and his preaching, he was straightforward for a reason. He was straightforward because he wanted people to see the condition that they were in. And listen, let me tell you something, though, that is a truth. Don't get too upset and get too mad at a preacher. Doesn't matter who the preacher is. When he's straightforward, he's not doing it to be ugly. He's not doing it to be mean. He's not doing it to be mean-spirited or to be unkind or to be judgmental or anything like that. He is wanting you to come to a place of repentance in your life. Now, let me tell you something that we need to all understand. Everybody, for the most part, daily comes to a place of repentance. Now, I know that a lot of times people think and they say this, well, preacher, you know, I came to a place of repentance in my life. I come forward in a church, or I knelt in my home, or I knelt outside. I knelt down by the creek, down by the barn, wherever it was at, and I came in genuine repentance. I came in that where I did have a change of mind that led to a change of heart, and I surrendered myself unconditionally to the Lord Jesus Christ. So I understand everything that you're talking about repentance. Good and well, that's great. If you're a child of God, every single one of us have been to that place. But repentance doesn't stop there. You don't just say, well, I've repented of my sins. I don't never need to again. Drive on Highway 20 and you'll need to repent by the time you get wherever you're going. Amen. I guarantee you will. Repentance is a continuing thing in our life. And the other thing that I do want to get really out of the way, and I'm not going to spend no great amount of time on it by no means, John's message, listen to this, was a message of repentance, a change of mind that leads to a change of heart that is an unconditional, total and complete surrender to a sovereign God. It had absolutely nothing to do with washing away your sins. Water baptism will absolutely not make anybody a Christian any more than going somewhere and buying a pair of scrubs will make you a doctor. It won't. And that was not John's message. John's message was a message of repentance. And then baptism showed repentance, showed a genuine repentance, a genuine unconditional surrender towards God. And that's what he was calling for. He was calling for them folks to surrender theirself. And they showed that genuine repentance. Then came the baptism that John offered to them. And that baptism was simply showing that they were in repentance towards God. Okay, so now you kind of see the kind of preacher that John the Baptist was. He's a straightforward preacher. He is a preacher that's out there in the wilderness and he's preaching and people are coming to him. Can you just imagine what some of the folks might have been saying in that day? Well, you know, have you heard about that old guy named John? He kind of a little bit... I don't really know about him, but he's stirring up quite a bit out there. And there's one thing I can tell you for sure that John was not. I can tell you for sure of this. He was absolutely not politically correct, for if he had been, he wouldn't have ended up beheaded. You understand that? Guarantee he wouldn't have been. He was not a politically correct preacher, or that wouldn't have happened to him in his life. So you see what kind of man he was? He's a straightforward preacher, but he's preaching repentance, and he's doing it because that's what God called him to do, but he's also doing it because he loves people. Listen, when you proclaim and tell somebody the truth, it's because you hope and pray they'd see the error of their way and come to a place of genuine repentance in their life. It's not to be mean-spirited. John wasn't going around and saying to nobody, I'm going to be the roughest, toughest old cuss that can be out there and be just as hateful and unkind as I can possibly be. That's not what John was doing. John was just preaching the truth. Just absolutely preaching the truth and preaching what people needed to hear. needed to hear that would cause them to come to that place of genuine repentance in their life. And I keep hammering that because that's what I want every one of us to understand in life. If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as Savior, you need to come to a place of genuine repentance in your life. If you're here today and you're a child of God, I guarantee you there is sometime in another in your life you need genuine repentance. You need to ask God's forgiveness for this or for that. Or God help me get on the right track. Or God help me to do this or to do that. Because I have failed you in it. I have not been obedient. I've not done what you've asked. So I need to repent of that. I need to come and trust you and trust what your plan is and what your will is for me in my life. Now go back to over here where Jesus is with the crowd, and he begins to ask those folks about John, and he begins to ask them in a question that he asked, rhetorical questions really, but he asks them, what did you go out in the wilderness, what did you go to see? That's why I ask you today, what did you come here for today? Why are you here? What made you want to come? And he said to those people, he said, did you go out there into the wilderness just to see a reed that was shaken by the wind? Is that why you went? Just to see that reed? Now, what is that alluding to? Well, I think it's this, and this is what most biblical commentaries and scholars and anybody would say, that he was probably leaning towards a charlatan-type preacher. Was John the Baptist a charlatan-type preacher? That means a fraud, fake, someone that's not genuine or real. Absolutely not. He was not a man that was like a reed that was just blown and shaken by everything that comes and goes. John was not that. He was steady and steadfast in what he preached and what he proclaimed. Wasn't blown around by every wind of doctrine and everything that come along in his day and just thought he'd grab hold of that and go with the latest fad, and that's what happens in our world today. Because the man of God doesn't stand steadfast and true to the Word of God, if he is like a reed. He is just blown about by everything that comes along. There's also another school of thought actually about that. There's those reeds that would grow in that area. They'd grow very tall and they would have a flowering plant on the top. And the wind would actually blow them to where they would literally lay horizontal with the ground. And when the wind would quit blowing, they would spring back up. And there is a thought that perhaps some folks went out to watch those reeds just for pure entertainment. Well, if you come to be entertained today, you're probably going to leave disappointed. I didn't come to entertain you. I come to share the gospel with you. I come to offer something to you and to share something with you that would bring about genuine repentance in your life, that would draw you closer to a relationship with the Lord. And that's not really a far-fetched thought. It's probably going to tell my age, sure enough, a little bit, but I'm going to tell you a quick story, okay? Does anybody in here just remember doing stuff for simple enjoyment? Things that really didn't cost anything. Nowadays, you know, when the grandkids come over and stuff, you know, you got to find something or spend something in order to entertain them. Come on, grandparents, y'all know what I'm talking about. Amen. Yes, you do. You know what we used to do when I was a boy? And I'm telling you this just so you remember this and understand that the entertainment's not what it's about, or just watching something. Sunday afternoons, we used to load up. We did not have an SUV, four-door sedan. With my grandparents in there, and I'd usually be in the front seat between my dad and my pop. My sister would be in the back seat in the middle between my mama and my grandmother. And we'd ride to Buford to watch the train go by. Oh, I know some of you younger people are thinking, how sad. what a sad life that must have been. But, But that was simple entertainment, and perhaps that is what those people done. It's not a far-fetched idea to think that some of those, because Jesus said, what did you go out there to see and watch? Just a reed that was shaken and laid over by the wind and would spring back up? Was John just entertainment to you? Or was he a reality to you? Was he something that brought about life-changing message to you? So he asks, why did you go? Why does people come to church today? Do you know what a lot of folks want out of church today? And I don't mean to be negative. Please don't nobody take this in a negative way. I hope I'm just being honest. And I'm not saying that you do, but I'm saying a lot of folks do. Church is like a buffet, okay? Give me a little bit of this, give me a little bit of that. And not a whole lot of Jesus, because after all, I don't want nobody to think I'm some kind of Jesus freak or a fanatic about something, you know. So it's just a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And if you offer this right here and you offer this right here, then you're certainly going to get us. You know, that's just exactly the church we're looking for. We're looking for the Golden Corral church. You know, if you got a little bit of everything, you got a good chance of snagging us. Doesn't really matter what the message is sometimes. Doesn't matter if it's about Jesus or is it just about the buffet bar. What all can you get? What's in it for me? In a genuine, real church, what's in it for you is genuine, real, true repentance in your life. That's what genuine church is all about. That's what you and I should be here for today, is to come to a place of repentance in our life, that we would renew our walk with the Lord, that we would get in a better relationship with Him. Did you come to see what John had on? That was one of the other questions they asked. Did you come? I guarantee you John wasn't going to make GQ magazine cover. Camel's hair, long dress type thing with a leather belt tied around him. And I kind of hate to say this, especially since you people are so good and I love you so much for what you're going to do next Sunday. But they didn't come for the buffet lunch neither, or the covered dish lunch. Because John would have served them wild honey and locusts. Probably wouldn't get a whole lot of people on Sunday if that was the covered dish that we was having immediately following the worship service that Sunday, would I? Doubt very seriously. So you know, Jesus didn't say nothing about that, but I kind of wished he would have, because he tells us in Matthew's gospel what Jesus' diet was and how he was dressed. When you look at Matthew's gospel chapter number 3, you'll find that that's where it tells about his raiment, his clothing that he wore and what he ate. So did you go just to see what somebody had on? He said, if you want to go look at stuff like that, go to the palaces, go to the king's house. They'll be the ones that will be decked out to the nines. So you're coming for the real reasons. It's what Jesus is driving at. Every time, every question that he asks these folks, he's driving, do you come for the right reason? Do you come for the real reason? Do you come for repentance in your life? Do you come to worship the Lord Jesus Christ? Is that what your motive is? Is that what draws you and brings you to church? So he keeps asking them, did you go out there to see a reed shaken? Did you go out to see what clothing John had on? Did you go out there to see a prophet? And he says, John was the greatest prophet, or more, I say more than the prophets, greater than the prophets. But then he goes on and says something that challenges us sometimes. When he makes that statement that he says, when he is concluding about John, he said, for I say among those that are born of a woman, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. But now listen to what it says about John. But he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. He that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than John. Wow, what a statement. Why did he say that? Does that passage ever draw questions and you wonder, what in the world that he would be talking about? Well, I'll tell you. John the Baptist did not know a crucified Savior. He was already dead. John the Baptist did not know a risen Savior. He was already dead. Now, did John have foreknowledge and understand that these things were going to happen? Probably. I don't know that you can. Well, he was a forerunner and he knew what his job was. So to some degree, I would say I would answer yes to that. But he said the least is greater than John was, because John never knew a crucified Savior. John never knew a resurrected Savior. Yes, he knew the Savior. Don't take that the wrong way, okay? But he didn't know him in the power of his resurrection. He didn't see the crucifixion. He didn't see the resurrection. He was not a witness to it. He did not see the church at Pentecost there in Jerusalem when the fire came down and those folks was baptized in the Holy Spirit and Holy Ghost of God and began to speak in those languages that all of those folks would be able to understand. See, you and I today have greater understanding about who Jesus is than John was able to have. That's what that is talking about. That's what that means. So what else? How did he conclude? He concludes by telling what you're going to do. And this is the answer to the question that I asked to you today. What did you come for today? Because you're going to come down to the two groups of people that Jesus concludes this talk about John with. I didn't read those because I wanted to bring them right now. Verse number 29 says, "And when all the people that heard him and the publicans justified God, being baptized with the baptism of John." So those were the folks that came in genuine repentance. Those were the people that listened to the message of John and responded to the call that God offered to them. They are the ones that came in that genuine repentance where they would surrender unconditionally to God. You and I, hopefully, will come in that same way today. But some will leave exactly like this right here. Verse number 30. "But the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him." What does that say? What does that mean? It means that there were those that were there that rejected the message of repentance. And you listen today, whether you're a Christian or a child of God, you will either come to a place of repentance today if you're lost and have never trusted Christ as your Savior. You will either come to a place of repentance today or you will reject the message of Christ. And as far as you and I are as Christians today, we will either come to a place of genuine repentance in our life and realize that God, we need to surrender ourselves over and over to you, because we too need repentance, or we too will leave without genuine repentance. Nobody was forced into anything. It was always ultimately, what will you do with the message? So that's the question that I'm going to end with today. What did you come for today? Why are you here? And what will you do with the message today? Will you respond in genuine repentance? Ronnie, get ready for a song if you would, please. And will you respond in genuine repentance today? Or will you respond the way those Pharisees and lawyers, and that would have been men that would have had great understanding into the Word of God. It wasn't just lawyers that handle legal things, but it would be those that, it was the religious is who it was. How will you respond today, folks? As an individual person today, if you're here and you've never come to trust Christ and to be saved, what are you going to do with this message this morning? Are you going to turn? Are you going to walk out the back doors of this church lost, without a hope in this world, and if death finds you, hell will be your home? Or would you come in genuine repentance and trust Christ as Savior in your life and let Him save you and let Him change you and let Him make you into a new creature that He wants you to be? Or are you going to just reject it? It was up to those people what they done with the message of John. It's up to you today what you do with the message that's presented today. It's not my word, it's His word. Stand together as we sing this morning a hymn of invitation. I do not just want to prolong things, and you know me well enough to know I don't do that. But I genuinely feel that somebody needs to come in genuine repentance to the Lord. What if this is the last time you're ever assembled to worship? What if this is the last opportunity that God has given to you, that's afforded to you? All the time. This is not something to just try to scare you into coming, because if it's not because the Lord is drawing you, scaring you to death, certainly not going to do any good. But there is a reality of life, the frailty of life. Life is very frail. Sometimes we think that I've got life by the horns. I'm young. I'm middle-aged. Maybe I'm older, but I'm in good health and doing pretty good. I got life. I got a hold of life. A lot of folks have thought that. And in a few moments, stood before their Maker. That happens every day, people. Not just every day, every hour. Every hour, somebody, somewhere today in the United States will be called home in this very hour. Someone left this walk of life probably between 11 and 12. If not in America, I guarantee you somewhere in the world today. But I bet it would be safe to say that probably in America, somewhere, somebody between the time that you and I have been in this church to worship, somebody was called out of this walk of life. So life is very frail. And the most important thing that we do in life is what we do with Christ. So I beg you not to wait and turn it aside and just keep putting it off. It's a dangerous, very, very dangerous place to be in life. Sing one more verse of song. And I beg you, if you've never come to a place of genuine repentance in your life, I beg you to come while we sing this verse of song. Thank all of you for coming this morning. If you are interested in uniting with our church, if you'll just see me immediately after the service, we'll get the process for that going. I do have a couple of announcements. Anybody got anything they want to share or say before I share a couple of things with you real quickly? Anybody? Okay, again, I do appreciate everyone for coming today. The Hightower Baptist Associational Revival, I want to tell you a couple of things about it. It is October the 13th, 14th, and 15th at 7 o'clock, and it's going to be at Concord. Clint is actually going to be preaching at one of the evening services on Tuesday night, the last night, which will be the 15th. Sunday night will be youth night. A mass youth choir is going to be there, and they invite all students ages 0 to 18, and they'll meet at 5 o'clock in the sanctuary to rehearse. And then Monday and Tuesday night, there's going to be a mass adult choir, and I hope that some of you will, take part in this. And they're going to have two rehearsals, okay? One of them will be held on Sunday, September the 15th at 2:30, and then there will be another one on Sunday, October the 13th at 3:30 at Concord Baptist Church. Now, if you can't make it to the first one, go to the second one. If you can't make it to either one of them, just slip in there and smile and move your lips. You'll enjoy it. Really, it's the associational revival. We're reaching out to all of our churches. It's not a
just this church and that church and that church over here. It's all of our churches, okay? So you're invited to be a part of that, and I hope you will take the opportunity to do just that, okay? I'm going to leave this up here if you got any, you know, if anybody's interested or whatever. And then the other thing is, tonight at New Harmony Baptist Church at 7 o'clock, every district of our association, there's four districts in our association, and each district has elected a church to host a prayer service for the associational revival. So our district, the district that we are in, is going to be held at New Harmony. I didn't say Hightower when I was talking to you. That's so confusing, because when you're talking about Hightower Association and Hightower Baptist Church, I'm afraid I'll get something mixed up sometime. So I just want to make sure I got that clear. It's going to be at New Harmony tonight at 7 o'clock, a prayer service for the associational revival. Anyone is invited to come and to attend that. That's tonight, 7 o'clock at New Harmony Baptist Church. So you're invited to that. Okay. All right, that's all that I wanted to share with you. I just wanted to do that at the end of the service so you'd keep those things on your mind. And the associational revival, if you can't be a part of the choir, if you can't perhaps even come, pray for it, okay? You can do that, I know. But I really hope and pray. Come out and support Clint, if, you know, that Tuesday night. Come Sunday night. You'll really enjoy it. They have great singing and good preaching. So come and be a part of that.